Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Saving money on your entire roofing project now at Menards. Protect your home for years to come with Owens Corning Architectural Shingles. They offer long-lasting performance while providing ultimate protection with a 130 miles per hour wind rating and limited lifetime warranty. Choose from over 50 options of Owens Corning shingles in-store and on Menards.com. And check out more of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
Hey, everybody, I'm Heather Dubrow.
And I'm Dr. Terry Dubrow.
Every Friday, check out my podcast, Heather Dubrow's World.
We also have a brand new show, The Doctor and Mrs. Guinea Pig Show, every Tuesday.
So don't forget iTunes and Podcast One. Tune in to Dr. and Mrs. Guinea Pig on Tuesdays and Heather Dubrow's World every Friday.
From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, screenwriter Robin Swycord. With Gina Grad on news, Paul Bryan on sound effects, and Parker is here to talk about the next Corolla cruise. And now, he's done a lot of cruising, mostly in West Hollywood, but that's not something he likes to talk about after the conversion therapy. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on, got to get it on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. Thanks for being a part of this whole mess. We love you. All right. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
And Bald Brian.
Oh, no, white people should be able to do whatever they want.
I stand by that statement. Robin Swycord is going to come in here. She not only did this new Cranston film, which is really just Cranston.
Oh.
But
so
also Little Women, Matilda, Memoirs of a Geisha, The Curious Case of Benjamin Button.
I was just tweeting about that literally, I think, with 48 hours ago. People were talking about David Fincher films, and he's made some great ones, some amazing ones, and some that have kind of just strangely fallen through the cracks. Panic Room is a great movie that people don't talk about. The Game is a great movie that kind of got forgot. And Curious Case of Benjamin Button is one of my favorite movies of his, and of all, I give that a 5-star rating. I love that movie.
Panic Room has been making the rounds now on cable these days.
I love that.
Good.
With a young Kristen Stewart.
That's right.
Yeah. All right. So, is it Coachella or is it Coachella?
Coachella.
Coachella.
Always heard Coachella.
Stage Coach.
Right. So I had one of my many, many interesting conversations with Mike August this morning where I'm walking Philly Cheeseburger and he's telling me, yeah, the guy who basically invented Coachella is coming on. And I said, oh, good. Yeah, he'll be in, I don't know, mid-June or something, but it's the guy who started the whole Coachella thing.
And anything like Coachella?
Some point I stop and I go, it's Coachella. I think it's Coachella. Now, I'm not the hippest dude on the planet and I'm not reading anything. Nothing's in front of me. I have these conversations with people all the time where I say, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm saying this is how I hear people saying it and I'll just say it the way people say it. Like my grandmother, I don't say hors d'oeuvre. I say hors d'oeuvre. Mm-hmm. You may be right. And one day God will heap praise
we'll
upon you.
Well,
but for now, while we're on the earth, so I don't get made fun of and don't confuse the waitress, I'm going to say hors d'oeuvre.
Sure.
But he kept saying Coachella. And then.
Oh, that's such a Mike August thing.
Oh, no. We've not slipped into deep Mike here yet.
We're in early August, not late August.
Yes, that's right. School's barely out. Here's where we get into deep August. I say to him, I think they pronounce it Coachella. And then he says, it's just a made-up name. The actual event's not even in Coachella.
Nope.
It doesn't exist. It's done in the whatever valley. But
there's a Coachella Valley.
The Coachella Valley.
Okay. He explains to me that I know there's such thing as a Coachella Valley.
Okay.
He's basically explaining to me that they use that name somewhere else.
It's like the San Francisco 49ers playing Santa Clara, which is many, many miles away, 40 counties away.
That's what he's explained to me.
Okay.
And listen, if the thing is in, you know, if the actual thing is called, Cowpoose Hollow or something like that, then you'd call it Coachella. But the reason it goes into Deep Mike is he's saying it's just a made-up name. But he's still mispronouncing the made-up name. Like, what I'm saying is I don't care what they call it. They still call it Coachella.
Okay, I'm getting stuck on the made-up terminology. He does not believe there is a Coachella. The word did not exist before the festival?
Unclear.
Okay, Google map it.
I know about the Coachella.
You do. You
do. It's the name of the valley.
He's saying
he must not know that.
The area it's in somehow is not, is, you know, it's like... It's like people call Las Vegas Las Vegas, but it's in Henderson or something like that. And there's some versions of that, but we all just whatever. The part I was more upon was my thing was, even if they're using the name and they, you know, even if what I'm saying is they have a Washington Mutual Bank in SoCal, but we still don't mispronounce the name Washington. Just because it's not here.
Right. Yeah.
That's kind of what I'm saying. Okay. Like, just even if they're using the name and they're using it incorrectly, they still call it Coachella. Mm. That's what I'm saying to him. So anyway, yeah, that didn't go that far.
I'm sure it was resolved quickly.
So Paul Tillett's coming on? The inventor of Coachella?
Yeah. All right, so we should figure out, and where is it then? I'm sure it's in Coachella Valley, it's probably in a somewhere that's something.
Correct. It's in India. Polo Fields.
Right, it's in India.
Yeah.
All right. Now we have to figure out if Mike thinks Coachella's made up. I the valley.
Yeah.
Do you want me to get him on the phone?
If it was a word made for this festival.
You know, Narnia, get Mike on the
phone.
Coachella.
We got to get Mike on the phone and try to figure this one out. It's always interesting. And always fascinating. And the beauty of Mike is, I can't think of anything offhand. No. The beauty of Mike is we can do this all day long without any issues. This doesn't like, meaning if I go one half a step into this with my mom, there's going to be tears and there's going to be anger. There's going to be resentment. There's going to be, you know, I feel like you felt that I felt like that you didn't respect my feelings about the way we felt. Mm. And none of that with Mike. That's the beauty.
Moving on.
His dad's a football coach.
No. You can compartmentalize pretty well.
You could sooner injure one of the dummies on a tackling sled. Then you could
hurt his feelings.
Hurt Mike August's feelings. All right, so we'll see if he can pronounce that, and I'll hop to the phones right now. Talk to Chris from Denver. Chris,
hey Adam,
what's going on, man?
Oh, you asked for calls for people who are on the cruise.
Oh, the cruise. That's right. I'm sorry. Yeah, the cruise. Were you on the last cruise?
Absolutely, it was a great time.
And you're from Denver. You came out to Long Beach to go on the cruise with us.
I did. I played.
That's pretty badass.
Paper getaway out of it. Played at the Hustler and the bike while I was out there. It was a great time.
All right.
Yeah, nice. I had
a stand-o vacation.
I had a good time too, and we got the new one coming up, Key West Cozumel. That's November 30th. Now we're going to drop a bomb when Parker calls in from the. He's a cruise organizer. There's bombs to be dropped.
I don't know about these bombs.
I know.
All right, SFA.
I kind of found out about it myself, but I'm excited about these bombs.
It's a good bomb.
Mm-hmm.
We're taking over in Sailing South America.
Yep.
Yeah, Tierra del Fuego.
Go ahead, Chris. Sorry, you did what?
I just wanted to say it was a great time. Getting to hang out with all you guys. Don't know if Brian remembers, but the last night I almost called his hand exactly when we were playing cards together. So
that doesn't surprise me.
I had a great time with that. Got to talk to Gary about Reasonable Doubt and some other things. So it was just a really great event.
I think everyone is incredibly approachable and never has any. I don't have a gear where I'm offended that people want to come up and say hi or take a picture or whatever, or that it's a hassle. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's so.
It's our duty, or my, I'll look at it as my duty on there.
Well, it's our privilege that people even care.
There's both. And then also, when you come from where I come from, all I ever had was people go like, who cares? Sit down, be quiet. Like, nobody wants to know what you're thinking about, whatever. And to have someone come up and just go, hey, I just want to say I'm a fan. I don't want to bother you, but I just want to say, like, that's so insane to me. The notion of turning that away is like turning away free food. That's the exact same stuff I have built in as a kid. Like, you just would never do that. Why would you ever do that? All right. So, Chris, you coming on this one?
Absolutely. I signed up while I was on the ship.
Ooh, nice.
I love that, man. All right.
Here's how you know Chris is telling the truth, because I'm not much of a poker player. I'm very mediocre, and he probably was able. I kind of remember that he called my hand. He's like, you probably have, you know, twos over nines over twos. I'm like, that's pretty much exactly what I have.
Well, is Chris good? Chris, you're a good
everyone
poker player?
Me.
Jack said queens.
What is that?
I thought that he had jacks, but he actually had queens, and I made a really horrible call and just donated. And then, of course, Carnival took their rake out of the pot, so it wasn't much that Brian actually got to keep.
But did you play craps with me? Because that was where the 99% lion's share of my time was spent.
Yeah, I'm not a craps guy at all, so just the poker table.
Let's make a resolution and make that happen this time.
Yeah.
All right, we'll do.
Thanks, Chris. We'll see you in November. End of November.
Absolutely.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, see you then.
All right, and then we got, TC, 34, Fresno. TC?
Hey, Adam, get it on.
Get it on, man.
What's happening? I actually have a couple of moments. The first night we all had dinner, we were seated to the table behind you guys, and it was funny because I noticed that Dawson was out of his mind drunk.
What?
And Brian and Gina were laughing and like whispering to each other, and Dawson was just shouting, like right next to you guys, and it made us all concerned for Dawson.
Sounds about right.
Dawson was the life of the party.
He came into our welcome aboard meeting for the staff yelling, drunk on a boat!
Took over the meeting.
That is 100% accurate.
We hadn't left port.
The main story that I have is that we, on the last night, we wanted to go sing karaoke, and me and my wife went to the karaoke bar on the ship, and we noticed that the people that got up to sing were singing super depressing songs. Like, the crowd was not into it. Like, everyone was looking at their phone. There is some black chick up there singing the Killing Me Softly by the Fugees. And
oh, well, not even by the Roberta Flack. Yeah, I got through that, but when I heard the Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald by Gordon Lightfoot, I said, this is bad. This is an omen. Yeah.
You hopped in a dinghy.
I shouldn't have that as a choice.
I'm going back to my room. Yeah, I don't know why that's even on the playlist.
They should really scrub that.
Yeah. But go ahead. They don't show airplane crashing movies on airlines.
Absolutely
right.
Not.
Sorry, go ahead, TC.
We signed up for Backstreet Boys, Everybody, because it's an upbeat song.
That's a tool,
yeah.
And before we went up, we saw the whole Corolla Digital crew come in. You and Charles and Chris and Gary, everybody walked in, and I looked at my wife, and I was like, oh, we got to put on a show. So me and my wife kept taking vodka shots because I really wanted to make an impression on you and have you make fun of me on the podcast.
It was
and
too good.
So me and my wife went up there and we did the Everybody song. Like, I was acting like a jackass. I'm glad nobody recorded it. And when we were done, we looked and everyone had left.
Oh.
Except for Charles, the tech guy. And you guys came to Fresno in February, and we were taking pictures with you guys, and Charles remembered me and my wife.
Darn, not to forget.
Hey, the Backstreet Boys guy.
Charles doesn't have a lot of other things distracting him from these important moments.
Social engagements.
When strangers sing karaoke songs on boats. Hey, TC, are you going on the next one?
I had to sell my left nut to afford it, but yes.
Woo! Yeah. Sweet. Come bring your one
see
nut.
See you in November.
Love that.
See you in your one nut there.
Yep. About you, TC?
I'll be the really loud guy at dinner yelling drunk on a boat.
No.
Joe, 50, Salt Lake City.
Hey, guys.
What's going on?
Not much. I'm at work. I want to give a shout out to my assholes. They know who they are. But yeah, I was on the cruise and I had a good time. The best thing that happened was I was sitting watching the screening of World Hard, and Gina came and sat down at my table.
Oh, thanks for letting me do that.
Oh, well, yeah, thank you.
I do remember you.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, that was super fun. No, thanks for being such a great table mate. Yeah.
And Joe, you came out from Salt Lake for this?
Yeah, I flew all the way out from Salt Lake, and I'm planning on going to the one this summer.
That was sweet.
I'm a huge fan.
That was the thing.
I played craps with you, Brian.
That doesn't sound like me. Doesn't sound like
me.
That
was more about me.
Nice. I like that story, and I like that you guys are coming from all over the place, too.
Yep. So, yeah, I'm in a big podcast group, and we all love you, and every day we comment, and, you know, it's great. I really appreciate it and enjoy it.
Well, we thank you, Joe, and we'll see you on November 30th. When we do the tour. Thanks. You always come up, always say hi. And get Parker. Can we get Parker on the blower?
Yep.
All right, because we got a few surprises here.
I feel like we'd be remiss not to mention that Joe says he has a group and they call themselves the Ace Holes for you.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I like that.
It's awesome.
Yes. Put that on a windbreaker. All right, so we'll get Parker. Parker does all these things, and we'll tell you about a couple little surprises we have.
I can only picture him running around the ship sweating.
God, he works so hard.
He works sweating up and down the stairs.
Yeah,
I love him.
All right, I'll tell you first about Smart Mouth, and we'll talk to Parker about the surprise. Dual solution oral rinse, only activated mouthwash, clinically proven to instantly eliminate bad breath and prevent it from coming back for 12 full hours. Zinc ion technology binds to bacteria, forcing it to stop producing sulfur gas. Nothing ruins an intimate moment as quickly as stinky breath. Doesn't matter if you work out all day or drive a Lambo like I don't. I look at them. I just never drive them. If your mouth smells like wet garbage, well, you're out, man. Foul breath. It'll ruin social situations, sabotage relationships, career prospects. It's bad. Let's fix it, everybody. It's easily doable. You go online, you go to smartmouth.com, or you get it where you get all your other stuff. You get it at Walmart, Target, Walgreens, CVS, wherever you like to shop, wherever you get, where you buy your toothbrush, go get Smart Mouth. Smartmouth.com. All right, we'll get Parker on the blower. I'm excited. He's online, too. All right. Yeah, Parker?
Hey, Adam, how you doing?
Good. Good to speak to you.
Good to speak to you, too.
I like Parker because he's a hard-working dude.
Is he ever?
It's a hustler.
Whole family.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's got that. I just, there's something about people that have their hustle on, and for me, it works even when I'm like at a intersection and you see the guy just dragging his ass walking in front of your car as if to say, like, I'm gonna see if I can make this guy 11 seconds later to his destination.
We're on my time.
It's kind of an attitude thing versus the guy who sees you and does a little double time. I love that person.
Yeah.
By the way, another one of my yardsticks to measure how horrible kids are today. Kids used to sprint across the streets. Now they just sashay.
Meander.
All right, meander. Sorry. Go ahead, Parker.
Well, that's okay. We appreciate that. We try our best to hustle, and I've been listening to you for years, so I think you have a little credit for that.
Well, thanks. So we have some news about the new cruise, November 30th. It starts in Miami. Yep. One thing, which is, I can't remember, maybe Mike August's idea, or I think it may have been a fan's idea, but I'm in love. It's a fan email I sent to, send a request to Parker. Yeah. Can you tell us, first off, something new that we're going to be doing on the ship involving, a theatrical theme.
Oh, dear.
Oh, excited.
Oh, yes. Well, yeah, thanks to Kevin Swan, who's one of your listeners. He hit me up talking about Cobra and was asking about maybe, you know, getting the movie streamed onto the ship and things like that.
Yeah.
So we kind of went through and, why not go ahead and add you into it? And so one of the events we're having is a live screening of Cobra that we're going to have you mic'd up, and you can make your commentary all the way through, stop the movie as you please.
Oh, and, be able to pause the film at will. This is a 7-hour event.
Easily. Well, now to be fair,
we have extended the cruise to a 7-day cruise now. It's not just a 4-day cruise anymore.
Now, I think they were showing Cobra anyway.
Yeah, it's typical.
I'm simply going to insert myself into it.
It's not mic'd up.
Yes,
right. I'm very excited about Cobra.
Parker, will you tell me what time this is so I know when to do my massage?
Yes. I will make sure to keep you in the loop.
So we're going to do the Cobra screening. We also, I think there's a pre-party, right?
Yeah, we're it's in the works. I'm working with Jay Miller over there at Corolla Drinks to make sure that we put together some kind of pre-cruise event for the fans that are coming into town early, because everyone on the West Coast has to fly in the night before no matter what. Mm-hmm. So why not give them a Corolla Drinks event that they can all gather around and have some fun with? I know Chris is at least playing. I haven't got the word whether Loxie will be playing or it's just going to be Chris doing an acoustic set, or all the details will be coming out shortly, because Jay Miller's hard at work trying to make sure everything runs smooth with all the bar crawls and everything coming up.
We shall work it out, but either way, we'll do. You're right. If everyone's got to come out the day before, we might as well have some fun that night.
We're talking.
So we'll do that. Let's see. Chris is going to be playing on the cruise, right? As well, right?
Yeah, he'll be playing on the cruise as well, yes. And then he's also going to be playing at whatever event where Jay comes up with for that night before.
Yeah, no promises. I'm just sort of thinking out loud, and I haven't really figured it out yet, but we might be able to show the uppity, the Willie T. Ribs doc on the, we might even be like a premiere or something, because we're... We're enough months out. We're getting pretty close on it, so that might be fun.
I think the fans would appreciate not a rough cut, but like a not quite finished, polished cut. You know what I mean? Like that. Yeah, appreciate
VIP
seeing
preview.
We might have a nice mix with credits and stuff like that by then, or we might just have what we have. But it'll be 90 minutes, and it'll be a regular movie, and it could be a premiere.
That's a great idea.
International Waters premiere. Yeah, it's coming out real good.
International premiere.
International Waters premiere. So, Parker.
Definitely work on that. Yes.
I asked this, and you can be honest, but I think our fans are great. And like when they have the cruise that has Cinderella, Twisted Sister, and Dawkins playing, are the fans different? Like, can you tell the different fans? Oh, wait, Mike calls it Dawkins. The different fans from the different themes. I mean, obviously, you can do a gay cruise. You're going to get a little different clientele, right?
Yes.
How are my fans, besides drunk?
Spectacular. Honestly, it was one of the things that came back to me, the feedback from Carnival from the last cruise, was they were really scared that there were so many people walking around drinking straight from the bottles of Mangria throughout the cruise.
And what's the problem?
I actually had security addressed a couple times to me during the cruise, and I promised them that, these people are legit, no issues will come with this. And honestly, not one issue came of it. There was nothing but, rave reviews from the staff on the ship, how great the fans were, how respectful they all were. And especially considering everyone was walking around with their Mangria and literally drinking it from the bottle, they were quite shocked how docile.
Hold on, Dawson was drinking it from a boot. But it's not sure if the boot was inside the bottles inside the cowboy boot, or just straight from the
transfer. And then he said, "Yo ho, yo ho."
Yeah. So Parker, we're excited about this, and
We are too.
The
sales are going great. Right now we're at 66% completely sold. Wow. So we only have a third of the tickets left right now.
That's surprising.
How many folks? Yeah, this far out. How many? If we sell out, how many folks will we have on the ship?
It really depends on how they book the cabins. It could range between 400 to 450 fans on board.
Nice.
All right, so we're about 300 or so in.
Well, right about that, yeah.
And a real quick request, Parker, since you have 5 months to work on it, can you see what you can do about getting us out of muster practice, whatever it's called?
Trust me, I wish I could. I just got off a cruise last week, and... my wife and I, Jill, we sat there and we were trying to figure out a way to hide. They were doing some kind of travel agent event on board we were supposed to be a part of. Unfortunately, everybody has to go through that. Hopefully we can make it as much fun and get yelled at as much as we did last time.
It is, it's bad when you actually find yourself sitting there thinking, all right, there better be some kind of maritime disaster. Otherwise, I'm going to be pissed. Like
make this knowledge worthwhile.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not saying we go down in, 30 seconds with no souls, but we better hit a tugboat or something.
Put this knowledge to work.
Something. I want to be able to use this. Right. Yeah. Hey, oh, go ahead.
As long as we're making requests, Parker, last time you were able to get me and Gina adjoining suites, which is awesome.
That was awesome.
Because we could clink glasses outside of outside the balconies.
It was very fancy.
If you could please make sure we do that again, that would be increase my enjoyment of the cruise.
So I shouldn't tell you what Gina's request was then.
Absolutely.
Oh. Parker. Yeah, no.
You can tell me off the air, I suppose.
Thanks, Parker.
No problem, guys. I look forward to it, and we'll talk soon.
Yeah, you can go to CorollaFanCruise.com, and you can get some tickets. If you like, it's going, and it's going to go, and it's a lot of fun. And everyone's there, and everyone's accessible, and I look forward to it. And now with this whole Cobra thing.
Oh,
the fact that we got two nights of Cobra reviews. Well, we can't do it all in one night, obviously.
Yeah. You were going to spread that out.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
All right. I had this interesting thought last night, and I was sharing it with Lynette, but I'm curious what you guys think.
Sure, she was all ears.
She kind of liked it, actually. Well, actually, maybe this'll get me started down this road. I'm on this sort of no safe spaces thing with Prager, and about going to college campuses and what's happening with everybody and the fear and the victimization and how unhealthy it is for people to imbibe that feeling of just I'm getting screwed with. We all know people
to not want to be challenged or confronted with thoughts other than sort of what they're on and comfortable with.
Yeah, that's part of it. And then the other part is we all know those people that are sort of in that mode of, oh God, that it starts with the teacher has it out for me. Mm-hmm. Like that thing, like you'd hear your friends like in the seventh grade. It's like, oh, Miss Sontag hates my guts. That's why, you know, and you follow those people like through their life, and it's like the boss hates them, and they got a target on their back, and the popo is always pulling them over for nothing, nothing, you know, whatever. Their whole, it's always, you know, and you realize there's never any success in those people's lives. There really isn't. They're unhappy, but there's also no success.
Well, you're right.
It takes a lot of time and energy.
I feel like you're talking about two different people, which you're right. The people that go to that no success road of everyone's out to get me. All these authority figures are lined up against me versus the people who are so institutionalized, like almost relying on those authority figures, those constructs to keep them safe, whether it's living in a dorm or going to college or whatever it is. Like they're being kept safe by those, and the people who, it's a different kind of victimhood, but it's, you know, it takes different paths.
But sometimes when the wind's just right and they get married.
That's right. They end up together.
Well, yeah. I guess what I'm saying is, They all have this thought that somebody's gunning for them, and that whatever it is they're attempting to achieve is not fully in their control. It's just not.
Forces lend against them.
I've said it one kajillion times because I have lived this. Whenever anyone talks about poverty or the have and the have-nots, we always talk about, education. We need more education. We need opportunity. And we need jobs, shovel-ready jobs. We need everything. And they're right. But the main thing that we need is a mindset that changes, because I grew up in a crock pot of this, which is just, it'll never work. Right. It'll never work. It doesn't matter who you know. It doesn't matter how hard you work. And it's the difference between my mindset growing up when I was incredibly unsuccessful. It's just like, there's no way this is going to work out. There's just no way. No way. It wasn't where you started. Mm-hmm. It wasn't how much you had in your bank account. It wasn't anything. The neighborhood you lived in, it was just, this is never going to work. This is never going to work. And you grow up with this steady diet of this is never going to work. And, you know, everyone does that thing where, of course, yes, you could take Mark Cuban and strip him of everything he owns and put him out on the street, and he'd be Mark Cuban again in 3 years. No problemo. It really is that, though. It's like that now, of course, the money, the neighborhood, the schools all become part and parcel of the whole thing, because if you start coming from people who've just done what they wanted to do.
Yeah,
Dr. Drew figured he could be a doctor because his dad's a doctor.
Right.
But it's not just not having a dad who's a doctor, or not seeing, you know, folks that look like you on TV or the big screen or in the fire department. It's a total mental that I can't even fully put into words unless you've lived that feeling of this will never work.
Sure.
And once you get the this will never work, then you go to, well, why? Why try? Because it's never going to work.
Well, and not only does it not work, but while you're at it, let's go through some of the atrocities your people have committed against others.
Which is more never going to work. Yes. Go ahead.
And there's like an, that reflects an antiquated like view of success. Like decades ago, I'm sure, you know, I'm thinking of like Wall Street and that whole thing and, you know, going to Wharton and becoming part of Wall Street and a hedge fund and a financier and a stockbroker. Like that was a path to success that was traditional, but also was narrow. You know, not anyone could get in there. And if you did, it was very, very difficult. But like today's world and today's economy, you could develop an app or you could do a startup. Granted, this is not everyone, but it's open to everyone. Right. It's possible. It's so there's so many more avenues to success.
And especially I was like literally saying to somebody last night, I just said, if you went in and you gave you're having a job interview, whatever the job was, and, you know, you didn't focus so much on training or education or past history, whatever, you looked across the desk and you just went, I'm going to bust my ass for you. I'm going to be the first guy here and the last guy out. You'll never be disappointed that you hired me. Like I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I didn't go to any Ivy League schools, but I'm telling you one thing. I ain't scared to work and I'm ready to work. Like if you told that, 9 out of 10 bosses would hire you simply based on
that,
Clouds part,
discussion.
Angel
like I'm not scared to work and I'm going to, and I'm going to impress you. And you are going to be so thankful 6 months from now you hired me. I am going to impress you that much. As a matter of fact, 6 months from now, I'm going to ask you. I'm going to mark it on the calendar, and I'm going to ask you, are you happy? You give that speech, Yale and Harvard and Wharton and whatever, put it all aside. Most 9 times out of 10, I have been the boss. The hiring of, you know, hey, he went to Stanford, he went to whatever. If what you're looking in front of you with the Stanford degree is a lazy sack of shit, you're not impressed.
Doesn't help at all.
All right.
If any.
I'll play you a little snippet from me and Prager over at CSUN at Cal State Northridge, which I really enjoyed. I love the man's words, but here they are.
Your status in America today is based on how much of a victim you are. So if you feel offended, you are immediately taken seriously. I remember this was a very powerful moment. I began lecturing at 21. I have a very bizarre, we have truly, as you point out, opposite lives. And we've ended up in the same exact spot, which is very touching. But I gave my first lecture.
I think I'm a little above you, but.
No. All right. That's fair. Fair. I didn't want to say
exactly.
It because it would
it's
go to your head.
It's mathematically impossible being exactly the same spot.
That's fair. You're right.
I'm sorry, but continue.
Anyway, I was about 27 years old and I'm a synagogue in New Jersey. And I gave my opinions, and then a woman gets up. The woman said, I'm offended by what you said. And I was naive. And I said, what did I say that offended you? So then she said where she differed from me. And I said, so you don't agree with me. Why are you offended, though? And that's become synonymous. Disagree now means offended.
Right.
Because you have victim status. So argument is not necessary. You are offended is enough for the college to bend to your will. This is the state that we are in. And then you get Play-Doh and stuffed animals in a safe room.
All right, you can probably stop it there, Gary. So I was thinking about this, and I was thinking, like, what's the attraction? Because I'm not attracted to that at all. Meaning, when I was a kid, I would eat crap all the time on my BMX bike or falling off the jungle gym or whatever it is. I was literally talking to Rob over the other shop 40 minutes ago. I was attempting to stand on my yoga ball, and this time I fell off. And I kind of wrenched my hip a little bit. Like, it hurt. And he was like laughing, and I immediately popped up because I did not want to let him know that actually did kind of tweak myself a little bit. Nothing, no bones broken, but it hurt for a second. And I'm always that way. If somebody tripped me and I fell down, I wanted to make that noise. I would pop up.
Right.
And oftentimes with pretty good wounds. And tell everybody, yeah, like, no, I'm fine, I'm fine.
There was a great Super Bowl commercial, I think, where the guys were sustaining pretty horrific injuries, but they pop up, I'm good. Right. That's the guy thing, I'm good.
So, but you realize when one of my kids do it, they stay down.
Mm.
And they may stay down for longer than they even need to stay down.
Oh, absolutely.
To the point where you don't, all right. So, as I was explaining to Lynette last night in the kitchen, I may have had a cocktail. I said, so what are we really talking about here? Well, here's what we're talking about. I mean, what's the attraction to this? I'm a victim.
Mm.
That seems very unattractive to me. Just like falling down, I want to pop back up again. Mm. It feels very uncomfortable to have a whole bunch of people gather around and go, oh my God, are you okay? Oh my God, you hit your head. Oh my God, are you okay? I just want to go, oh no. Fine. But that's my wiring. I said, what are we really talking about in terms of why is this attractive? And I realize, well, here's what we got. Everybody longs for attention. Everyone longs for praise. It's a very human instinct. Everyone longs for, hey, good job, or hey, they did a great job on that, or just praise. Praise and attention. And it starts off when you're a kid. And then at a certain point, hopefully it takes different forms. You have a degree, a doctorate hanging on the wall behind you. And you like that people come in your office and go, hey, that guy must have worked pretty hard. That girl must have worked pretty hard. So you want the praise. You want the attention. And then I said, how does one get the praise and how does one get the attention? Well, you can get praise by spending 4 or 5 hours a day working on the cello, and maybe 9 years from now, you'll be in the first seat of the orchestra in college or high school or whatever, the all whatever orchestra. But that road is not an attractive road to most people because that involves sitting with my cello all day practicing.
Well, it involves years.
Yeah. Or I can go out and see if I can set the school record in the 200-meter butterfly. But what's that involve?
It's a lot of cold mornings.
That involves getting into the pool at 5:30 every morning. You just keep going with what it is, being the captain of your hockey team or whatever you do, being captain of your cross country team, whatever. That's going to be a lot of painful miles. Okay, so we all agree that we want the praise and we want the attention. We like the idea of being the captain of the hockey team. We like the idea of setting the record in the 200 meters and butterfly. We like the idea of being in the lead chair, playing the violin solo.
I know where you're going with this. Participation trophies. That's what you're about to say, right?
No. Nope.
Okay, shit.
The weird thing about me is I'm all for participation trophies. Mm-hmm. I got many of them. And if you truly leg it out for an entire year. I mean, you gut it out and you go to all the practices and you suit up for every game. You should get acknowledgement of, hey, 1982, you were part of the East Valley Trojans for a year. Now,
here's the bigger trophy.
Let's give most valuable player out and let's give best most improved and best defensive back and best, offensive lineman, like whatever it is. Good. Everyone gets one of these. Now we're giving 8 people a special trophy out of the 35.
Yep.
That, I don't know. We've always do
Sounds
the participation
very
thing,
equitable.
But we're not really correct when we say participation.
Mm.
I received many participation trophies. I have no idea where they are and never felt like anything more than the napkin that was on the table at the same banquet that we were sitting at. I got a miniature cup so small that I used it for a kicking tee later on.
Wow.
You want to talk about trophy. I got a cup that was about 3 inches high, like literally a miniature cup.
You got a golf tee?
Yeah, shot glass.
To be fair, it's something you'd put a poached egg in or a soft-boiled egg.
Cordial glass.
Cordial glass. It really looked like something you put the soft-boiled egg in and eat the top out of.
Ding, ding, ding.
I got that trophy. I wish I had that trophy today. I do not have that trophy today because that trophy broke because I was using it to kick the football, which, by the way, was bulging because it had no laces in it. Charlie Brown is light years ahead of my childhood. Light years. I didn't even have a Lucy to move
the ball.
He had
someone to hold it.
Right. I was in my dad's $14,000 piece of crap house off of Oxnard over there in North Hollywood, and I was just playing alone, obviously, because my dad wouldn't leave the house, and I was putting the ball in the front yard, and I was trying to tee it up and kick it. And I kicked it, and I kicked it, and eventually I kicked it, and the thing snapped in half, and we didn't have a garage or crazy glue, and I didn't have self-esteem, so I think I threw it away. I'd pay 10 grand for that trophy today.
Jeez. What was so special about it?
That trophy was, we played a game against the Channel Island Bandits or whatever, like
they sailed over.
They're notorious.
There's a city, I don't know, Gary can look it up. I think they were just called Channel Islands, but they weren't on the Channel Islands.
There's a college of the Channel Islands.
Yeah, that's the one. That's what it was. And we played these guys and on a bowl game, or like we traveled over there and stayed there, whatever. And then the game ended. And at the end of the game, everyone lined up. Each team lined up along the 50-yard line, the other at the 45-yard line, whatever, 5 yards away. Everyone just lined up. And they said, okay, we're gonna pick... that was a high school in Channel Islands. Yeah, that's probably where we played. The other team's going to pick the best offensive and best defensive player, and then our team's going to pick the best offensive, best defensive player. No one knew anyone's name, so it'd be like, number 11, you were kind of running all over us, and 66, you seemed to make all the tackles. I was the best defensive player that they picked on our team. And I took that as, well, there's no politics here.
There's
nobody's dad's coach or mom's working concession stands.
Jim Carolla was getting in the ear, I think, in the fourth quarter. Like, oh, Carolla.
You'd be surprised to know he did not make the traveling squad. So they decided, and they gave me this miniature trophy, which, of course, to me was smaller but better than any participation trophy I'd ever got, because it'd been decided by the team we played moments after the game ended. Yep. What could be purer than that?
Absolutely.
And when I was 10 or 11, I knew the value of that versus the value of the thing that everyone got for showing up. Still think you should get a participation trophy, but then give out
the
special egg holder that can be used as a kicking tee for the bulging ball with no laces. So we would all like the admiration. We would all like the affection. We would all like the pats on the back, and we'd all like the praise. But we can agree, everyone wants to be Mr. Universe, but who wants to go on the hack slide and spend all day with your thighs burning and doing all that stuff? So now, okay, we got a dilemma. We would like praise and we'd like acknowledgement.
I'd like those things.
Right. But hell no, I'm not getting in the pool at 5:30 every morning and swimming for 2 hours before homeroom. So what are we left with? Well, now we shift over here. Kids. When a kid breaks their arm or gets hurt this, or I can't tell you, you know, wait till Tessa will start doing it. But, you know, if Sonny's over here saying, oh, I jam my finger in basketball, you can never pick out the finger that's jammed when he's showing you the hand. You have to help you pick out the right one. You see it? See how swollen it is?
Oh, look at that.
Natalia will come walking up and go, look at this elbow. I skinned it. I fell off the skateboard. Now, well, this isn't captain of the hockey team. This is attention.
Yeah.
Now we're giving our attention. How do we do
this?
Right.
They
acknowledge it.
Chichkeet, as our people say.
Now, nobody wants to throw themselves off a roof and break their arm for attention. That's as painful or more painful. Thank you. That is more painful than showing up and swimming for 3 hours before. They're both painful.
Right.
One happens all at once. All right. So now we're at this weird crossroads. I would like attention, and I would like praise. No, I do not want to
earn it.
Yeah, I don't. You know, I like the praise from making a documentary movie, but it takes a year and many hours. It takes a year and a half to do it. It costs several hundred thousand dollars, and it's a slog. It's not a lot of fun. Mm. So I would like this praise, but I don't want to go through all this stuff to do it. Or I would like some sympathy and attention for my fractured collarbone, except for I'm not going to throw myself off a moped. So now what? What do we do? Well, there's a new third column, which will get you that attention, that sympathy, affection, whatever you want to call it, which is, I am a victim. I am being attacked. I'm being oppressed. I'm being held down. I'm being whatever. It's a natural human. I know it's natural. We wouldn't do it if it wasn't natural. Right. There's a move toward that. Now, if you think about a lot of successful people, whatever their background, color, ethnicity, whatever their sexual proclivity, whatever, they seem to focus on their success. Mm. You know, I don't know David Geffen very well, but he doesn't seem to be a victim.
Right.
He's gay. He's just on his yacht somewhere kicking ass.
Don't get it.
He's not, it's not part of his world.
No.
I'm guessing.
We can only assume.
Yeah, it doesn't mean you don't do charity events or something like that with a cause, right. But I'm just saying it's not his being. It's not what he's decided to build his life around. And I don't feel that way about, well, there's a lot of women that way, a lot of black folk that way, Hispanic, whatever. Right? I don't, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, it doesn't work his ethnicity into things very often. I'm sure he likes this. I'm sure if you got him drunk, he'd tell you played a little, he was a pretty good ball player at Miami back in the day or whatever. But I don't think he would try to get your sympathy and or attention because of the color of his skin.
No, it's a good example. He's kind of the opposite of that. Like, he's trying to be every man, like colorless, nationless, like he's an international man.
Right. And this is,
projecting himself to be that.
Yeah. So I do understand where we're going, but just like if your kid was doing this, we have to stop it because it's not helping the person because it's satiating them. You see, I get satiated by finishing the documentary, and thus I feel good. Or Brian, when you finish Shrinkage, mm-hmm. you had that feeling.
Of course, yeah.
But if I had somehow satiated you or by saying, oh my God, you have a tumor. Oh my God, that's so horrible.
Yeah, take a break, man. Just sit back and just relax. We'll take care of everything.
If there's a part of you that went, I don't need to write this book and or do really anything because I'm getting all this attention, sympathy, and all this, just like when you were 9 and your arm was in a cast, I have everyone coming up to me asking what's wrong, what can they do, how can they help me? If that felt to you like mission accomplished, you would have never written this book.
Yeah, that's interesting. I never thought about it in this context, and I'm trying not to toot my own horn here, but I do take a little bit of pride now in what you're saying, which is, I had all that sympathy coming to me. There was an outpouring of sympathy and support and love. I couldn't have asked for more from our listeners and people I work with and family and everything, but there was still whatever it was inside me. It was like, well, it's time to, oh, that was the, I've mentioned this before, but that was the reason, oh, this maybe comes back to what you're talking about. That was the reason I never took unemployment or disability. I did unemployment when, like, I couldn't literally, you know, was laid off the radio station, but for a couple months. But my doctor's like, you should file for disability. Like, you can't work. Like, you can, you know, file for disability. And my whole thing at the time, I kept saying, maybe foolishly, because it was free money, but I was like, I want to get back to work. Like, that's my dream. My dream is to go back and, like, broadcast again someday, or at least work someday. And that was the goal.
Perfect.
Maybe foolish, because if you heard me at that time, I was not in broadcast shape.
Brian, you don't know what you're talking about.
That's true. I probably not in broadcast shape now.
It's as foolish as my nanny, Olga, from Guatemala.
Your nanny.
Now she is. Mm-hmm. Let's face it. The kids have outgrown her. She's making everything for me. As foolish as her going, everyone telling her, you can get a free lunch for your daughter, mm-hmm. lady with the brown skin who has the single parent. You should get free lunches. And her going, want to make them myself.
She knows that she could, but
you can go, well, you just,
driving her.
You just left money on the table. Yeah, okay, so but you left a chunk of your pride.
Yeah.
And how much is that? What about your pride?
$1.50 I'm saving every day.
Right.
And I would always argue that whatever it is you left on the table, those were pennies on the dollar, even though the dollar was your pride.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on. I've never collected unemployment or social security, not social security, but unemployment, disability, or anything in my life. It's never even occurred to me. And I there were many times when I worked and then was out of work. And I'm not saying it was as a hero. I don't have that gear. I don't ever have the go over here, see what you can get gear. It's always, I got to find another job. It's got to be better than this one. All right. Sorry. Yes.
Well, I have a question. So when you equate, praise and attention to breaking your arm or maybe like fooling everyone and saying, oh, he hurt me or whatever. If your kids do that in the back seat, chances are you're going to say, hey, knock it off.
Right.
Quiet.
Right.
So if that's happening in society with adults, where's the person that always said, hey, knock it off?
Well, they used to run the schools.
Sit right next to them.
They were the deans and the chancellors. They were the adults. They were the adults who said, hey, knock it off. And instead, we get the guy and the couple that pipes up and says, at the, oh, I don't know if it was it. Harvard or Yale or whatever, but you know, we get the couple and the guy's wife writes, hey, you know, it's Halloween. If someone's wearing a sombrero and they're not Hispanic, right, cut them some slack. It's Halloween. They're having a good time. We don't have to all go nuts. Mm-hmm. And then they all went nuts on her. Mm-hmm. And then the husband stepped in and went like, why freaking out on her? She's just trying to send it. She's a good person. She's just basically saying, relax. Then they turned on him.
Got circled.
Now they're both gone.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. That's not a good thing. That was at Harvard. That's pretty dumb for Harvard. Now,
it's dumb for almost anywhere.
It's dumb for LA Valley College. Yeah. At that point, the adults should have stepped up and said, are you guys crazy? Mm-hmm. No
cooler
goddamn
should've way.
You don't get to dictate. You don't get to shout guys with 20 years experience who, by the way, are on your side.
Right.
And we're learned. Like, he's spent a lifetime studying this.
Well, and that's why when you said about cops, why would they bother, you know, getting out there and being aggressive and helping people? Because it's just going to come back and smack them in the face.
Yes.
It's the same with college administrators. Why? I'm just going to, so I can get fired after everything I've worked for?
Yeah, so they can take over my office and refuse to leave. Like, hey, everyone's just going to go screw it. Because that's the other thing that humans do. They'll take a path of least resistance. 96% of them. Well, all right. Robin Swikert's out there. Made a really interesting movie. Gina saw it.
It's fabulous.
I saw it. It's got Bryan Cranston in it. It's very good. We'll bring her in first. I'll tell you about True Car, man. Ah, yeah. You want to feel comfortable buying a new car. You want a fair price. You need contacts. You do it with True Car. You see what other people pay. You find out the market price. And then you go in, you swoop in, you get your new car or used car, just like Max Pata did. He got such a nice Prius. I thought it was new. I think it was a couple of years old. You register, you find out the real price on actual inventory, and you can feel confident when you show up. True Car users save an average of $3,000 off of MSRP. Not too shabby. Over 3 million cars sold by over 13,000 True Car certified dealers nationwide. So, when you're ready to buy new, when you're ready to buy used, it does not matter. You go to True Car, you enjoy a more confident buying experience. When you're ready to squeeze that trigger, and let's do it now. True Car. All right. If you'd like to check out nosafespaces.com, you can go there and you can watch some more of those clips of me and Prager up there on the campus. And we're going to be touring around doing a few more of those. So enjoy that. Wakefield, the new movie with Cranston in it. We'll talk to the writer-director, Robin Swikert, right after this.
Time to get on board. Corolla Cruise 2.0, November 30th through December 4th with Adam Carolla, Gina Grad, Bald Brian, Dawson, Gary, Chris Loxamana and his band, Kalen, and Ray Oldhofer. A Caribbean cruise with stops in Key West and Cozumel. Book your passage now at adamcarolla.com.
Drunk, a boat full of booze, come aboard on a podcast cruise. Get drunk, smashed out of your gourd, come get sauced with Corolla and crew. The Drunk Boat soon will be making another trip. The Drunk Boat, alcoholics aboard a ship, with Bald Brian and Gina and even his buddy Ray. Get drunk with Gary and Chris, it's an experience that you cannot miss. Yes, drunk. ACS Cruise, get drunk.
It's time for Nicaraguan Name That Movie with Adam's buddy Oswaldo. See if you can guess which movie this famous line is from.
E.T. Fong Hong. E.T. Fong Hong.
If you said E.T. the extraterrestrial,
E.T. Fong Hong, E.T. Fong Hong.
You're correct. Now, back to the show.
Robin Swycourt is in here. Wakefield is the name of her new movie. It's available today on video on demand and limited theater and theatrical release. And you can go to the website, ifcfilms.com, to find out all about this. Good to see you, Robin.
Hey.
Hey, I watched a movie last night. I loved it. And it's hard not to because it's Cranston. I mean, yeah. He's so good, that guy.
I know. He's the best.
And he's basically on his own most of this film, which it seems it's got a little, I don't know, like a little Tom Hanks Survivor, but
Castaway.
Castaway. Sorry, I got too many moves in my head.
A little but, last season of Breaking Bad.
Yeah, but Landlocked. So I'm sure you're a huge fan of Cranston, as we all are.
Oh yeah, of course. I mean, once you've seen him, you go, I gotta have that guy.
And there's no genre that he doesn't do.
That's true. He's a risk taker.
He does anything, or even risk or not. He's funny when he has to be funny. Like, I've been up on stage with him a few times. I shot a crowdsourcing video with him. He was funny as hell doing that. Like, there's nothing you can't hand him that he can't make better.
Also, first came to prominence for most people in Malcolm in the Middle. Yeah. If you think about how far he's come just in the public perception, like, you know, being a sitcom dad on kind of a silly sitcom, to become what he is now, a very well-respected actor, is real testament to his talent.
Yeah, he's got the whole bundle. I mean, he can do the humor. He's fantastic at improv, drama, obviously. You know, and I saw him once at the Spirit Awards kind of rescue a guy who'd gone up to receive an award who was kind of knee-walking drunk. And he got up on stage, a young kid, and he got up on stage, and he took a little single of liquor out of his pocket and opened it in front of the mic, like, crack, you know, and he poured it into the guy's glass and walked him off the stage. So it was, you know, an act of mercy to get the guy off the stage, but it was also completely hilarious and dark that he poured the guy a drink. And that was kind of a moment when I was still thinking, like, should I go for Cranston? It kind of sealed it for me. It's like, you know, he's just got it.
Well, how
he
did
knew you?
You
were watching it.
He's auditioning.
He was auditioning for Wakefield. He did not know it.
How did the meeting come about? How do you get that guy? Because he's the busiest guy on the planet.
He is. I'll tell you, it's a miracle that, you know, he gets a big stack of scripts. And the way he tells it, you know, that there was a script that he just kept coming back to, and it happened to be Wakefield. So that's how I got the meeting.
So it was based on a short story?
Yeah, Edgar Doctorow wrote this short story. It was published in The New Yorker in 2008, which is where I first saw it. And then it came into my hands in 2011.
And how does that come about, where it comes into your hands?
Well, a producer, a friend of mine, Elliot Webb, knew Doctorow and introduced me to him. Because this is not the kind of, you can imagine, you can't go out and pitch this movie. So
well, you can if Cranston's attached, maybe.
Yeah, but how do you get Cranston attached?
Right.
You
know? Yeah, it is chicken or the egg thing. Like, this right. is the kind of thing where if Cranston says he's in, it's pitchable, but it's a bizarre pitch. Yeah. And we're not going to give away too much, but it's the kind of movie that doesn't follow any sort of standard plot lines and things that you may be familiar with. And when you confuse people you're pitching it to, that's trouble.
Yeah, you know, and Hollywood is nothing if not reactive, you know. So if it's seen it before, it goes, oh, yeah, that's good.
Right.
If it hasn't seen it before, it's like, I don't know, I could get fired over this. So this was the thing that I had to go to Doctorow, get his permission, and then write it on spec, and then put it together and get the actors and my producers, Julie Lennon and Bonnie Curtis, and, you know, other producers came on board who were essentially investors. It was put together with private equity off of people who usually invest in Broadway shows.
Wow. I can see that. It does read as so naturally as something that could be on stage. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you got this sense, Adam, but this might be a little bit of a stretch, but there was a part of me that thought, this almost has sort of a Twilight Zone, Rod Serling vibe.
Oh, God, I hope so.
Yeah, and I just thought that was so interesting, such an interesting thing about it, that it's almost like living a double life, living in a parallel universe.
Yeah, I felt that way. I felt that way as well. And I normally don't like to be swept away, but I felt myself sort of, there's a lot of VO and a lot of Cranston speaking over images of Cranston, and it just, it was very, I don't know, layered. Had a very, and it's because there wasn't much going on in terms of, there were no car chase scenes in Cranston.
There was one car chase scene, except it was a man on foot with a car.
That's like, right.
Don't, like, I got an action sequence in this movie. Please do not forget.
With shoes on his hands.
It was it was very compelling, very interesting, and I'm trying to think, I don't know, maybe Jeff Bridges could have pulled it off. Like, I'm trying to think of who else could have really done that role.
Yeah, it's a short list. I started with a really short list of serious actors that I admire, and Jeff Bridges was on that list.
Who are some of them? We'll see.
Who said no?
Yeah.
You know, nobody from that short list said no. There were people that we did explorations with about that was purely about financing, with me really with my heels kind of dug in, like being pulled forward with me going, I really want Bryan Cranston, and everybody's going,
but this name,
yeah, but this name will get you more money. Because, you know, with the his value rose as we waited for him, thank God.
Right.
Because when he first said yes, we were sort of scared because we had to make this movie for less than we needed. And then by the time we got ready to go a year and a half later, his value on the foreign markets had risen because Breaking Bad got released in Germany and then other
good timing. So,
but also on movies too. He did
18 Trumbo.
Months. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, but Godzilla much better foreign wise than like Trumbo. Probably.
You're not thinking
internationally.
Well, Argo too. I'm sure a lot of that stuff.
Yeah. We're now. But the foreign thing is a very real concern these days.
Well, for indie movies, it is. It's the whole deal, you know, because foreign sales, the estimates, let the investors know if you deficit finances for you, we are covered by what this is going to make foreign. And so as long as you don't go over that number, then you're okay. But that's where it comes from. Indie financing is pretty simple.
Is and you said that the financiers were normally doing Broadway stuff, that group.
That's right.
Do you find, and I guess those people like to get their money back, there's a certain group of people that don't need to make a lot of money. They just want to have their name on something or say they're part of the game or show up on set and give Cranston a couple of notes.
He loves acting. That, by the way.
Actors love notes from rich, dumb people while they're craft service. But there used to be a group, and maybe there is. I don't know. There's 10% of them who just want to go, I want to be in the game. I want to call myself a producer.
Yeah. I don't know. I met quite a few of our producers. And the end of the day, I mean, when you see those the credits roll at the beginning, you see all those executive producers, those are people who have skin in the game. So they did show up. And in fact, when we went back to New York with my little tiny skeleton crew to shoot the opening, which was in Grand Central, all those people showed up and were free extras in the movie, which was awesome. They got their moment in the limelight. And, you know, and I didn't have to pay for extras.
Well, the movie is fantastic, and Jennifer Garner's in it, too, as well. She's great.
But she does so much with, you'd say so little, but it's not so little. She's a big part of the movie.
Yeah. The whole movie is the kind of a theme about how entertained you are while so little is going on. I don't mean to say that in a negative way, but I like those movies. I like movies like Dead Calm. I miss those kind of movies where they're out there, it's quiet, and there's so much going on. Maybe Dead Calm is a horrible example, but what I mean is it got a little hectic at the end. But what I mean is like just a slow burn, just to build, like, where is this going? What's happening?
Yeah, I think the goal with this was to create a lot of anxiety slowly for this guy and about this guy. And because it's subjective, you're kind of worrying, it's like, is this guy telling us the truth?
Yeah.
I always say, for me, the sort of yardstick to measure everything is you get about 20 minutes in and you turn to the person next to you and you go, do you care? Do you care what happens to this person? Do you care if they get the money back for Elliot Gould and Ocean's 13? Like, do you care how this ends? And if the answer is sort of no, then you're out.
Yeah, you're done.
It's a strange thing to talk to a stranger at a movie theater, but you can still ask, I suppose.
Do you care?
And don't forget the wonderful Beverly D'Angelo.
Oh, yeah.
Such a random and great casting.
Yes.
Oh, God, she was the best. She was a lot of fun to have on set, I got to say.
Wakefield is the name. And again, available video on demand and limited release in theaters. And if you just go to ifcfilms.com, you can find out where, when,
yeah,
how.
That's right. Yeah.
What else? You do a lot of movies. You do some big movies. What else is cooking?
Well, I got a little thing I'm working on at HBO that I'm not supposed to talk about yet because it's not announced.
Do it. Do it.
Do it. What does it rhyme with?
Pie and
Entourage 2.
No, and then I think I want to. I'm thinking about something about gun violence. I'm going to work on.
Is there somebody? Is there a name attached to the HBO thing you can talk about?
No, it's so early. This is why I can't talk about it. Hey, listen, I can't do it.
Yes.
Can I selfishly ask about a movie that I love? Benjamin Button, Curious Case of Benjamin Button. Your involvement with that, and also I'm a big fan of David Fincher's. Also, he makes some great movies. What was it like working with him and the pre-production process and development and all that stuff?
Well, you know, there were sort of, it was a bifurcated production. I was on the film for 10 years. I wrote 16 drafts for four different directors and two different producers.
Oh, my God.
And at a certain point, it became pretty clear that the people who had put up the money for all of that were not going to finance a movie that was as costly as Benjamin Button was going to be.
I assume Brad Pitt was not involved at that point because that would have been a different story.
Yeah, nobody was involved. And then a few years after that, there was a little quiet period with nothing was going on. Then David Fincher, who had been carrying my script around, decided that he was going to direct it. And he had enough clout by that point to do that. And I guess he pulled together his cast. And then he asked Eric Roth to do a rewrite. And so the script that went through development with Fincher was actually Eric Roth.
Okay. How much of it did you recognize on screen as your stuff?
A ton of it. I mean, basically it was a kind of hybrid of the movie I had imagined and the movie that he had imagined, and they kind of came together. There were a bunch of stuff that I invented out of whole cloth. And then there was some stuff where he did these wonderful flights of fancy, like becoming a tugboat captain and things like that. You know,
great stuff in that movie. It's whimsical, but it's also emotional, packs a punch. It's great. I really love it.
Well, he did a great job, Eric Roth.
16 drafts, or 15, 16?
16.
Did you get paid?
I got paid for most of those, but not always that much. You know?
I always try to explain to people how much working for free you have to do in this town, or working on spec, maybe hoping to get paid. I don't think people understand that, and they don't understand it that at every level. Even when you're accomplished, there's still a lot of freebies out there.
Yeah, you know. I mean, people who live in Hollywood and work here, we all know that. You know, that's the thing. We're just all entrepreneurs, and you do what you need. So
I know, but I think a lot of folks who are looking from the outside in think, oh, you get in, you get rich, you get paid. Like the biggest mistake I hear with people is like they want to get paid for whatever it is they're doing immediately, and I'm trying to explain to them all the time. You got to do it for free. For a while, and even beyond.
Right. It's all, as they say, if come. It's like, I'll do this now, and maybe good luck will come.
All right. You want to hang out? We'll do a little news?
Sure.
Let's do it.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gino Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gino Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, a Republican congressional candidate from Montana has been cited for misdemeanor assault on a reporter. Ben Jacobs of the Guardian newspaper was in Bozeman, Montana, reporting on the special election to fill Montana's one congressional seat.
I miss Bozeman.
Bozeman.
I feel like I used to hear about Bozeman.
Where are you going, Bozeman?
Oh,
just, it was
all right.
Something. I haven't heard it in a while. All right.
Yeah, this
He's
is
in
why it's
Bozeman.
Back.
Now, do we have any film?
Well, yes and no. We have some audio. He says Republican candidate Greg Gianforte body slammed him after Jacobs asked a series of questions about the GOP health care bill. Fox News reporter Alicia Acuna was in the room, and she actually wrote about it, her account of what happened on Fox's website, and pretty much corroborated the story. There's no video of the incident, but the audio is posted. You can definitely hear a scuffle. The Gianforte campaign blames Jacobs, saying he was overly aggressive and calling him a liberal journalist. Other producers and photographers on the scene back up Jacobs' account. He's the reporter. Here's what it sounded like.
The CBO score, because you know you were waiting to make your decision about healthcare until you saw the bill and it just came out. And what
we'll talk to you about that later.
Yeah, but there's not going to be time. I'm just curious if you have the
speak
right
with
now.
Shane, please.
But you gotta just
sick and tired of you guys. The last Jesus time you came here, you did the same thing.
Get the hell out of here.
Jesus.
Get the hell out of here.
The last guy did the same thing. You were the Guardian?
Yes, and you just broke my glasses.
You the last guy did the same damn thing.
You just body slammed me and broke my glasses.
Get the hell out of here.
Oh, he didn't deny it.
You'd like me to get the hot dog, I'd also like to call the police.
Wow.
Can
it's
I get
on.
You guys' names?
Hey, you gotta leave.
He just body slammed me.
You gotta leave.
No pictures and no film. I feel like there's pictures.
Hulk Hogan entered the ring.
Yeah. I feel like there's pictures and films of everything.
Well, and that's, you picked up on the exact thing that nobody says, no, he didn't. What are you talking about?
Yeah, if somebody said you body slam me when you push them, then you go, you got pushed, douche, and your glasses fell off. But right. if someone says body slam and no one says,
is he going like off and over,
well,
like onto the Giants?
That's what I thought. But Alicia Acuna, I believe it is, on her account of it, she said it looked like Gianforte went right for his throat and sort of threw him on the ground.
Let's make some more sense.
I'd like to know about this guy's background. See, for me, it's like, well, he wrestled in high school, and then he played a little semi-pro ball, and he played Canadian football or something. Then it's yes. I got to know about this this politician's background.
Krav Maga.
If I hear Krav Maga, then it's a definite yes.
Well, I know he's a sort of multimillionaire entrepreneur that is in politics, but I don't know.
Entrepreneur of ass-kicking?
Yeah.
Is Krav Maga the name of a guy?
What?
Well, no, I know what it is.
Like Peebo Bryson.
Yeah, like Peebo Bryson's. Peebo Bryson's a name. Jacuzzi's a name. Yeah. It's the name of something everyone sits in, but it's also the name of a dude.
Is it?
Jacuzzi, yeah.
Who's Jacuzzi?
Hebrew for combat or contact combat.
There's no Larry Hot Tub, but there's like a Bob Jacuzzi.
And you did tell a story once about
a point guard for the Celtics.
You did tell a story about
years in soothing too.
The Jacuzzi,
Bob Jacuzzi,
wow. The Jacuzzi guard.
He could
anyone.
Deal the rock, and he could heal your wounds after the. Yeah.
And cash register.
Yeah, Krav Maga could have been the name of an Israeli captain in 1946.
It appears that Krav Maga was based off of a Hungarian Israeli martial artist named, and I'm probably going to butcher this, Imi Lichtenfield.
This is
Hebrew for contact combat.
Oh. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, let's go back to my Benjamin Button fantasy where there is a guy named Krav Maga. Would you rather be named Krav Maga, like knowing that this martial arts discipline was named after you, to be walking around, or to be named Jacuzzi, knowing you brought so much joy and sex into people's lives?
Are we factoring everything in? Because the Jacuzzi family is very wealthy. I've been to the winery in Sonoma. They have a winery.
What?
For the Jacuzzis!
There's a Jacuzzi wine?
Yeah, yes, and it's quite good wine, actually.
Gross.
The
the tasting room is one big tub.
Can you sit in the jacuzzi drinking jacuzzi?
I did not see a jacuzzi on site, but I didn't tour the entire grounds.
Mm.
So I'm going jacuzzi.
Well, let's not, or forget about money, just legacy.
Going jacuzzi.
Who
doesn't like the jacuzzi?
All right, but if you're striking up a conversation with some guy in an airport and he goes, well, you know, I took a Krav McGraw class and he went, you know, that's me.
That's me.
First off, no one would ever bother you.
Right.
They think you're a total ass kicker.
Well, that's true. The thing. You better be able to back it up.
But I do. I think the jacuzzi's a little more worldwide, maybe.
Yeah, I think it's more recognizable. I think it's more chill. No one's going to mess with you either, but for different reasons. Like, hey, brah.
But for now, Maga would be a sweet last name. Make America Great Again.
Ooh, Krav Maga.
Krav Maga. Something there?
Make America, yeah.
Yes.
There's your next movie.
I'm thinking.
All right. I'm with Jacuzzi.
All right. Well, some Las Vegas headliners say their show plans will not change in the wake of the Manchester bombing and a new ISIS recruitment video, which appears to solicit lone wolf attacks on the Vegas Strip. Celine Dion, Jesus. Jennifer Lopez, they both performed their shows this week and will perform again this weekend. Mariah Carey, Backstreet Boys, they begin their run of shows next month. None of the acts plan on canceling any shows. However, the Coliseum at Caesars, which is where Celine, where you just saw her, and Mariah performed, say that if anyone requests a refund because they're freaked out, they'll likely get one.
Well, here's the thing. We always do like, hey, these guys are heroes. They're going on with the show. But to me, it's the least likely time of another terrorist attack, no matter how freaked out everyone
is.
Red. Yeah, it's like I flew out to New York. Me and Jimmy flew out to New York a week after 9/11. And everyone's like, oh, my God, what are you doing? And it's like, probably the best time to fly. Yeah. If you really want to just statistically break it down. It's heightened security. Yep. They've got
Everyone's
it out of their system.
Edge.
They don't have any plans for a bigger terrorist attack than 9/11 that's coming in the next 10 days.
Yeah.
So in a weird way, you go, oh, man, that's brave of you to fly. But statistically, it's not.
Now's the time.
Nah, but kind of feel that these things get planned and spread out and planned and spread out.
Yeah.
I think the time, you know, when everyone would be officially freaked out is if it happened in consecutive weeks in the same sort of, not the truck going through the farmer's market, but the same type of attack.
Well, and that's the thing. I think a lot of times they are, but now you have someone to, you know, you have a suspect, you have someone that you start arresting people, and that second one never gets accomplished.
Well, let's hope.
Yeah. Well, Adam, you and Dennis Prager are in The Hollywood Reporter. Did you know that?
No, I did not.
They did a really nice piece about your crowdfunding campaign to get the doc No Safe Spaces up and running. It was very cool. They mentioned your visit to CSUN, which apparently that was rebuffed, which I don't know that we knew that originally. They were like, eh.
It was originally canceled. And then it got re-whatever.
Yeah. Well, and you accompanied Ann Coulter on her April visit to UC Berkeley, where she wasn't allowed to speak due to threats of violence.
I did?
Yeah, according to The Hollywood Reporter.
I don't remember going to UC Berkeley with Ann Coulter.
It's in black text on white paper. They wouldn't have made it up.
She remembers. That was,
in some of the articles I've read, they've said that's an impending appearance.
It is? I got to check into my career. Oh, that's impending?
Well,
I have seen that that is part of
it. They have it in the past tense.
Oh.
I thought maybe you didn't tell us.
Well, you know, as I've always said, and Robin, you probably know this, especially when you have to read reviews of your movies, how they just, when they get things wrong a lot, it's frustrating. Like, you go, you'll never know how wrong the newspapers are until they start writing about you. And then when they start writing about you, you go, what? No. That never. But if you're reading it, how could you possibly dispute it? That's just what is.
Nothing makes you lose your faith faster in journalism than being interviewed and seeing what gets written about.
Right. Yeah. And it's not always gotcha stuff. A lot of it is just stuff about, you know, told a million people, here's how I met Jimmy Kimmel. And they'll screw up that story.
Yeah.
Like they just it's lazy. It's kind of whatever. It's C-O-R-O-L-L-A at the top and C-A-R-O-L-L-A. It's just at the bottom, like they spell my name three different ways in one article. Like, I think a lot of it is just sort of, not that into my job.
Well, I was impressed that you accompanied Ann Coulter to her visit in Berkeley. But now
Wait, we're going to Santa Barbara, right? Or Berkeley. Where'd we go?
I think she especially requested Berkeley.
Where did we go and where might we go? And is there a jacuzzi
when
there?
When will then be now?
At a Krav McGraw studio. I want to keep in shape. All right.
Well, there's the fundraiser. Now tell me if this is right. There's allegedly a fundraising campaign where $500,000 will then be matched by another $500,000 from Dangerous Documentaries. That's the movie production arm of the Capital Research Center, which calls itself an investigative think tank.
Yes.
Okay, good.
People say this all the time. Like, I do movies that I pay for. I've done ones where I've done crowdfunding before. I think sometimes people go like, well, why do you need to crowdfund this, or the docs you pay for, or, you know, the Hammer we paid for, Road Hard we crowdfunded. They go, well, just make it. Leave us alone. But I go like, I wouldn't make it. Most of these things are not winning propositions unless you get Cranston in. Well, actually, it's probably a good time to play Cranston.
Oh, that's what the crowdfunding video.
For the last one, because this is what happened when I was actually asking Cranston to be in my movie and his response and how we use in a crowdfunding video. But so be clear with most of this stuff. It's not like we're going to make the movie and we're crowdfunding it. It's more like if we don't crowdfund it, the movie won't exist.
Right.
I wouldn't have made Road Hard. You know, I made The Hammer. We spent 5 years trying to cobble together $950,000, and then I ended up not making any money at all and probably losing money. So the idea of doing that again, it's never really a good time for that business proposition. So that the deal is the next movie would be crowdfunded or wouldn't be made. But
right.
I'll show you Cranston if Gary will find it over there.
Well, do you want to see a clip of yourself first?
Sure.
Okay. Well, here's a clip from that really great 3-minute video, that pitch video you did, that you talk about the reason for this documentary.
Matter of fact, I don't know why we focus on skin color, gender, sexual proclivity. What's that have to do with anything? It should just be all ideas. That's why Dennis and I are hitting the road in this movie. It's called No Safe Spaces, and there'll be no campus that'll be safe from our wisdom. The epicenter of free speech was always college campuses, the very same place that advocated, fought, and a couple of people actually died at Kent State for free speech, now are shutting down everybody who disagrees with them.
You're
Bill Maher
shirt.
Doesn't want to go to campuses. Liberal comedians don't want to come to everywhere. Campuses and tell jokes anymore. That's how bad it's gotten.
Oh, well, there I am.
That's why you're doing it.
Dawson.
Until we get that video, I have a Adam Carolla Google search thing that I get notified every day. And of course, when I got one today, I immediately clicked on the article that your name was spelled C-O-R-O-L-L-A. And I wanted to see what this person said. Throughout the article, she did spell your name right,
mm-hmm.
but at the title, it's Corolla. Here's just the sentence
that spelled
stood
differently.
Out to me.
Mm-hmm. That bothers me more than consistently spelled incorrectly, because that's just you spelled it it's not noticing that there's a difference.
Well, when I read you these few sentences, you'll feel Corolla satisfied.
Thank you.
Corolla and Prager have regularly teamed up, but the duo has little in common. While Corolla is a podcaster, Prager is an author and has been on national radio.
Oh.
How does that make you feel?
Well, it's incorrect. It's
four New York Times bestsellers. Loveline, possibly the most syndicated radio show of all time.
Really both sides of the spectrum here with you and Dennis.
But that's
yeah. Again,
you guys have a little in common, and those are the examples.
I just, whatever your article is, I just feel like if you're going to write it, you're sort of should involve some truths. But I've had it happen a million times. I get confused on a lot of articles that are written about me because I'm not even sure if they're trying to do, like, let's say a hit piece, or they just screwed up. Like I talked to you whenever we talked about that Entertainment Weekly article about me and Jimmy and not doing season whatever the Man Show. They called me a braying sports aficionado, which I didn't do sports bits. I'm not a sports guy, per se.
You weren't Adam the sports guy.
So they're trying to jab me, except for I'm not sure if it's even a correct jab, because I'm not sure. Jimmy did Jimmy the sports guy on K-Rock before we did the Man Show. So he is the sports guy, but they called me Brang sports aficionado. So did they confuse us, or are they just taking a straight jab at me?
It's more of a jab.
Well, I know they wanted to take a jab, but where did the sports come from? He has the sports background.
I think this is from someone who wrote this did not know your backgrounds. They just saw you next to Jimmy, and you look more athletic. You just
much
more like a jab.
This is perfect. All right, I like where your head's at. You can see me in Cranston, by the way, doing this. Road Hard.
Hey, it's Adam Carolla, and you know, ever since Sports Illustrated called my last movie, The Hammer, the best sports comedy of 2008. People have been asking, when are you going to make another movie, Ace? Well, I haven't.
It's long overdue.
It's called Road Hard. And with the generosity and help of people like you, and of course an assist from Mr. Bryan Cranston, I know it's going to be a huge success.
Hey, I'm flattered that I'm even, involved in a small part.
You're flattered. I'm co-starring in a movie with Bryan Cranston. I mean, that is awesome.
Wait a minute,
but
I'm happy to help you here doing this, raising the money for it, but I can't be, oh God, I can't be in the movie with you.
But
Road
when
Hard.
That's the name of the movie.
Ride 'em Hard.
No, it's not gay porn, it's a movie about a comic on the road and the struggles.
Did you see Argo by any chance?
Yeah.
Kind of carried that movie. Right?
You were great.
It won Best Picture, an Oscar.
Yeah.
Out of all the pictures.
Yeah.
The best.
Right. That's why I came to you to be in Road Hard, because I was like...
Right, but do you see where that would go? You know what I mean?
Clearly.
My agents would take a shit in the middle of Wilshire Boulevard if they heard that I was going to be in a movie with you.
Is there any circumstance under which you'd work on Road Hard?
No. If you backed up a Brinks truck and it bumped into another Brinks truck that was unloading the money for me that it would take for me to do this movie. And that, and the carts would bump into this mound of cocaine that was up there and women everywhere. And then still, no. I would rather play the gay pimp in Deuce Bigelow, Pakistani Gigolo. If I had to give my agents a choice between doing an Adam Carolla film or doing a snuff film, they would have to discuss it. If they were remaking Deliverance, I would sign on to the Ned Beatty part before I would do a role in your movie. I would take it in the ass before I would do your movie.
I feel like I'm getting that now, Brian. And it's dry.
I don't mean to insult you, but it's like, and yeah. God, if they even
wow.
I was
wow.
doing this.
First off, God save me if you ever decided to insult me.
Got all his Emmys on his lap.
Polishing him up.
Oh, come on. You've got to see the absurdity in what you asked me, right?
I thought it was a long shot, and then you said, I'd love to be a part of...
Oh, my God. That is funny. That you got to write that into your movie.
Were you not being in the movie?
No, where you ask someone something so ridiculous that it's just obvious. It's funny to the audience, and then your character's like, what? It's good. It's self-deprecating. It's good. It'll work.
It hurts. It's cruel. It's painful.
It is funny. No. Have you ever felt one of these? No, I'm just asking. I don't want you to touch it.
I think maybe you should leave.
It's my house.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It's really good.
It's got a little tag on it.
Why don't you call your buddy Kimmel and get Matt Damon's number or something? That must be weird for you, huh? Kimmel's now the new king of late night, and you're still doing a podcast?
All right. There was Kranzen. So see how good he is?
He's good.
He can do anything, that guy.
Yeah.
You should make a movie with him.
You know, I really should make a movie with him.
That was a daring amount of buttons you had open, too, by the way.
I got to show... I was trying
to raise money.
I
was
trying to
raise
money. No, I have this bad thing. I think it's the way my body's shaped or something, but the top button is too tight. And then the next one underneath it is too much.
Too low.
I need an in-between button. You know what? It's like,
I get it.
No, it's like I'm a 30. My waist is always a 35. But they make 34s and they make 36s. They don't make 35s.
Yeah.
So I can buy the 34 pants, but it's going to be a little pinch. But I'm always a little ambitious. Like, I'm due to lose a couple anyway. I'll get these 34s. 36 is a belt. 30. It's a no man's land. It's a curse.
It's a curse.
It's a business opportunity, man. You got to get the tweener size.
The 35ers.
Yeah. Yeah. Not AC 35, the new jeans.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. All right.
Ace hole denim.
Yeah. Gary, you're 35?
Yep.
It's weird, right?
It's very frustrating.
Dawson? I got to start 35. Making these pants.
I have the same situation.
What?
I'm on 36 right now.
Prove it.
Here's the bottom line.
Actually,
34s are a squeeze.
And they're painted on.
And
look stupid.
And 36 is you definitely need a... You ain't leave without a belt. Mm. It's that big a difference. Wow, this whole 35ers. There's an opportunity
here. Why are you raising money for a movie?
You're right.
Seriously.
Get Kranzen on the blower. Tell him this time it's about slacks.
I used to be the tweener 35 when I was fat.
Sorry. Aww.
Oh, come on.
Aww. All right. Let me tell you about Simply Safe.
Gary's glaring at me.
Entry sensors, motion sensors, glass break sensors make your home a burglar's worst nightmare in under an hour. Pre-programmed to work right out of the box. Just plug in the base station and it'll talk you right through it. It is that smart. Dawson has Simply Safe at his place because who knows? A belt and suspender thief could break in.
That's true.
Make away with all those he uses
for his 36s. You can't trust a man who can't trust his pants, so pick one.
Wow.
The entire system is wireless. No
need to drill holes, pull wires, crawl under the crawl space or up in the attic. Month to month, no long-term lock-in contracts, no hidden fees, just $14.99 a month for 24/7 professional monitoring and emergency dispatch services. So don't wait another day. Go to Simply Safe Adam. Two eyes in there. SimplySafeAdam.com. Get your 10% off the entire security system. Simply Safe Adam. .com. All right, baby girl, let's do one more.
All right. Well, a hookup with Orlando Bloom reportedly cost a London waitress her job. Brenton's Sun tabloid says Viviana Ross served the actor drinks at the Chiltern Firehouse Hotel and Eatery and then followed him up to his room where her shift ended. The next morning, her manager found the aspiring actress in Orlando's bed. Ooh. After he left. She's very pretty.
They're both pretty.
Yep. Within an hour, she received a text telling her she was fired for fraternizing with the clients. A pal, though, says Viviana did not regret, quote, the night of incredible sex.
Yeah, and where's this hot chick going to find gainful employment?
that's a win for her.
When will she land on her feet?
Yeah, and also, it's so great because it's sad, but we have to always look at the person, like when they go, this guy had sex with a school teacher, and you go, I don't know. Oh, yeah.
Makes
sense.
Yeah,
he definitely did. Yeah. We're such a sad society, but we look at her, and she...
She kind of looks like Liv Tyler.
It looks like she's taking a selfie, but there should be fake phones so people can, professional photographers can photograph you taking selfies.
Kim Kardashian does that.
Is that what she does?
They've done things where you kind of pull the camera back and there's like a lighting person and then a camera guy. Because the angle doesn't totally make
so
sense.
They're so cunning, those Kardashians.
Right.
That's a big entourage.
Yeah, well, yeah. Mm-hmm. Would you expect anything else? They have people.
Yeah, they got those extra cars following them with all the lights and all that.
Right. I don't know that it's all the time.
Do you watch the Kardashians?
Okay, I don't mean to be super smug or whatever, but I've never seen an episode of it.
I've seen every episode.
Oh, my God.
The reason being, Christy loves that show, and I'm often doing things. I'm not paying attention that closely, Brian. But I'm very aware of what goes on. Very aware.
First
then you have to direct all these questions to Brian.
Very aware.
I feel your pain because my wife watches the Real Housewives, like Orange County. And you walk.
It's a Beverly Hills woman, but I know what you're saying.
Yes, oh, you walk past, or I don't even know which one, but you'll walk in and out of the room three times, and then at a certain point, you stop and you go, Kim Fields is a bitch.
Yep.
And then you find yourself sitting down without saying anything. And then you're like, if that Vanderpump lady thinks she can boss around Kim Fields, we got a problem here. Yeah. And the next thing you know, you're just sucked in.
Yeah.
And then. Most of your commentary is how stupid it is, what an incredible waste of time all this is.
After
it's like
4 hours.
Hand me those Doritos and that Kleenex, by the way.
My version is watching with her, especially the Kardashians. I hate all the, I'll say this, I'll verbalize this, which she doesn't appreciate. I hate all these people. I couldn't imagine spending more than 2 minutes with any of them. They all suck. And about half an hour later, I could kick it with Scott Disick.
Oh my God.
I think Scott and I could be friends.
I don't like watching rich people yell at each other. It makes me feel bad and
bored.
Also
forced on that show.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Well, if you give me a choice between poor people yelling at each other and
Cops
rich people,
or the Kardashians.
I like the Kardashians. I like rich people yelling at each other, but no, I try not to watch any of that. Orlando Bloom, quietly a poon hound, and not even quietly. I think he makes his rounds.
Like a Leo DiCaprio, younger.
He doesn't get a lot. You know, we always think about, you know, with like George Clooney or these guys like that, but he does it kind of.
Stealthy.
He's in stealth mode, but he's doing it, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, he was with Katy Perry for a while.
He was?
Yeah, he gets some famous.
And wasn't he married to and then banging around with the nanny or something? Am I making
that? That's Jude Law.
Oh, Jude Law, sorry.
Yeah. Is he the acting example, the version of guy who peaked in high school? Like, what I'm saying about Orlando is he experienced a lot of success at a young age. And is set for life in terms of girls flocking to him, probably money. You know, he probably doesn't have to. But my point is, I don't see him pop up in a lot of ambitious projects these days.
Well, he's more of a Pirates guy, right?
He made an effort because he did the Cameron Crowe movie, which was terrible. He did Elizabethtown.
Oh.
He did Kingdom of Heaven, which is also terrible. But that was kind of like pushing him out there to be. But he's got Lord of the Rings money. He's got Pirates money. Like, is this guy skating for the rest of his life on Waitress Poontang?
And why shouldn't he?
I
thought this was a family show.
Yes. It's very family friendly.
First you put Cranston on there, now we get Poontang? Come on.
Yeah, he may. But if you're going to do it, that's the kind you should do it on.
Do you know Orlando?
I do not know Orlando. I feel like he was very beautiful when he was young, and he had a kind of boy band look about him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't always translate to adult life.
Oh.
But he did make some. He did make some money. He was in some good movies and some big movies.
Franchises.
Yeah, franchises. So in a way, you know, if he has a lot of chops, he could do what Bryan Cranston did, which was let's take a chance on a little thing over here.
Or the aforementioned Jude Law. Jude Law is really like reviving his career in the second career with Dom Hemingway. It was such a bizarre departure from what we think of Jude Law.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you have to take risks. Oh, I mean, that's like the crazy thing. You have to take risks. We were just talking about being entrepreneurs. Actors have to take those risks if they want to jumpstart something that feels kind of stalled.
Hmm.
And this is why, you know, whenever somebody says, you know, well, we were on the Brady Bunch or 21 Jump Street or whatever, and once you're on these TV shows, you never get to go, whatever. And it's like, well, if you're Johnny Depp, you do. If you have chops,
if you're Ron Howard,
you'll make it. Yeah, if you're on, if you have something in the tank, they may look at you as a little opie for a while, but don't worry, eventually
you'll make splash and
you'll get there. All right, let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news. Hey, knock it off.
Gina Grad.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Geico, man, you got the to-do list. Well, how about you hop on your computer and save a whole bunch of money. That's right. Save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance, and you don't even have to leave the house. Just hop on over. Pop up geico.com. 15 minutes could be saving 15% or more on your car insurance. Why not? Make a little extra cash, and who knows? You're going to find out. Just go to geico.com, spend a couple minutes, and see if you could save some do-re-mi on that auto insurance. That's geico.com. All right. Let's see. No Safe Spaces. Yeah, we're doing some crowdfunding. Go to nosafespaces.com and check that out if you'd like. We're doing shows all over the place. Irvine, Oxnard coming up. You go to Adam Carolla for that. For Wakefield, the movie, which we highly recommend, you can go to ifcfilms.com, and that'll let you know. And it's a video on demand and limited in theaters, but VOD, the usual suspects on the video on demand where you normally get video on demand.
Yeah, that's right. Apparently, we're going to be at the top of the list. I've been promised. And we're also going to be at this point, there's about 26 cities in the U.S. that are playing it, and we start the European rollout in June.
So
go see it.
Go to IFC. Yes, you won't be disappointed. ifcfilms.com. Thank you very much, Robin. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Robin Swicord and Gina Grad and Paul Bryan saying mahalo.
You can't trust a man who can't trust his pants. Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow the Ace Man on the Twitter at Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail with questions and comments at 888-634-1744. And subscribe to Take a Knee for a weekly dose of inspiration and motivation. Click the archive link at adamcarolla.com. Gina Grad is on the radio weekday mornings at 100.3 The Sound in Los Angeles. And for tickets and info on everything, including the Carolla Cruise this November, please visit adamcarolla.com.
Big money on your entire roofing project now at Menards. Protect your home for years to come with Owens Corning architectural shingles. They offer long-lasting performance while providing ultimate protection with a 130 miles per hour wind rating and limited lifetime warranty. Choose from over 50 options of Owens Corning shingles in store and on Menards.com, and check out more of our great deals going on now.
Save